You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. It is the third Sunday of Eastertide, and we continue in the Gospel of John. This time I'm bringing the message, I think, from the King James Version. I'll be in 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, I know it's a little strange to hear the Old English. I don't often use the King James Version, not even the New King James Version. But for this particular passage of Scripture, there's just a certain eloquence to John's message to us this morning. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Isn't that wonderful? It's a grand question. Who are we that God should bestow on us this magnificent love? Had a tug on my heart this morning to come to you from King James, as if the Holy Spirit was saying to me, and hopefully to you this morning, pay attention to this passage of Scripture this morning, because in it I want you to see just exactly how important you are to your Father in heaven. The other reason I chose it was because the translation in King James uses that imperative, behold. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Behold, it means look and see. Look and see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that he calls us his children. I mean, if that doesn't give you God bumps, I don't know what will. The Message version has an interesting take on it. It says, what marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. Isn't that remarkable? Are you with me this morning? Do we have to turn to our neighbor and say something? The Message says, but friends, that's exactly who we are, children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? What we know is that when Christ is openly revealed, we will see him. And when we see him, we will become like him. And all of us who look forward to his coming, stay ready with this glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own. All who indulge in a sinful life are dangerously lawless, for sin is a major disruption of God's order. Surely you know that Christ showed up in order to get rid of sin. There is no sin in him, and sin is not a part of his program. No one who lives deeply in Christ makes a practice of sin, and none of those who do practice sin have taken a good look at Christ. In fact, they've got him all backward. So, John writes, my dear children, don't let anyone divert you from the truth. It's the person who acts right who is right. It's the person who acts right who is right, just as we see it lived out in our righteous Jesus, the Messiah. That's such a basic truth, isn't it? The person who acts right is right. We kind of take that for granted in society today, don't we? Being a child of God should stir up in us, just like it does in John, a sense of wonder, a sense of awe, a sense of amazement. What a glorious, measureless love God has for you and for me. It's such a great love that we as humans can scarcely understand the magnitude of such a love. If you just stop and give it the reflection that it's due, you will be astonished. You will be amazed. You will be full of wonder at this love that God has for you. Are you feeling the love this morning?
Amen.
Are you awake this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Do we need to get a spoon and hold it up to your mouth to see if y'all are breathing? We just absolutely need you to be invigorated by the love of God this morning. God love fills us with those thoughts of wonder because it is divine in nature. It is a love that originates only with God the Father, and it has one purpose, that is to see your highest good worked out in your life. God's love is for your highest good. It's not dependent on your circumstances. It's not dependent on what's going on in your world. Joy doesn't depend on that. Joy depends on a relationship with Jesus. God's love is a love that transforms the recipients of that love, not because we're worthy of such a love, but in spite of our unloveliness, God seeks to bring us into his family, and that's awesome. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's awesome. I got to know you're with me this morning. He has bestowed this love on you and me. In other words, he has lavished his love upon us. It's a gift from God that can't be earned or bought. It's given freely, and what's more, it can never be withdrawn once it's given. It's given in such a way that his love actually is imparted to us. Words mean things. Imparted means that it becomes a part of us. It's a permanent, abiding love that he gives to us as his children. So we aren't just given the title children of God, but we are actually, when we exercise the saving faith in Jesus Christ, we are actually transformed into God children, divine progeny, literally children of God, in a family relationship that is blood related, that being the blood of Jesus, of course. And because of this divine love, which transforms us into children of God, the world doesn't understand us. The child of God is radically different from a child of the world because we have different fathers. Our Father is God. Children of the world are children of Satan. That's not my opinion, that's biblical truth. The world doesn't understand the children of God because the world did not understand Christ. Does not understand him even now. In fact, the world is hostile toward you as a Christian. If the world rejects you as a follower of Christ, if the world mocks you as a child of God, you can be assured of two things. One, that behavior should be expected of a world that has a natural hostility and animosity toward the things of God. And two, that reaction should be welcome because it's a sure sign that you are, in fact, not of the world. Anytime somebody rejects something that I say that comes from the Bible, hallelujah. Because it means that I'm not of the devil. Anytime you act in a Christ-like manner and somebody is rude to you or hostile to you, hallelujah. Because it means you're not of the world. This is why we're told in Scripture to count it all joy. Whatever the world throws at us, whatever reaction we get as children of God moving through a hostile world, we are called to respond as joyful because of this incredible love the Father has bestowed upon us. One of my favorite stories about Bishop Scott Jones, and there are many. He once told a story about how people respond when someone asks them that common greeting, "How are you?" Bishop Jones said that he, like most of us, responded to that greeting with the typical, "I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine." It's a kind of standard response, isn't it? No matter what kind of hell on earth we are enduring that day, we put on a brave face and we say, "I'm fine." The truth is, we may not be fine. Things may be downright hostile in our circumstances. Things may not, in fact, be fine with us at all as we move through the world. Bishop Jones said one day he met a woman in the parking lot who extended the greeting, "How are you?" To which he responded in the usual way, "I'm fine." And then what's the next polite thing to do? "How are you?" "I'm fine. How are you?" And her response, he said, caught him completely off guard. Instead of the usual, "I'm fine," she responded to his greeting, "I'm joyful." When's the last time you heard somebody respond that way? "How are you?" "I'm joyful." That day, Bishop Jones decided, and it's true, I tested it, that he would take that example to heart, and now he responds, "I'm joyful," to the question, "How are you?" I'm joyful. We as Christians should make that our standard response because even when things aren't fine, we can still be joyful. That, my friends, is called hope. Because even when things aren't fine, we can still be joyful. Even when the demons are rattling the doors of our church, rattling the doors of our home, rattling the doors of our job, rattling the doors of our very lives, we can still, because of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that dwells within, we can still count it all joy. Why is that? Well, 1 John tells us why. Because behold, look and see what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Look and see that you and I are now the sons and daughters, the children of God. And yeah, we don't know exactly what's coming or when. We know he's coming back, but we don't know exactly when or what that will look like. It doesn't say specifically in the Bible when that happens. All it says is that God the Father knows. And that should be sufficient for our joy. Because when he appears, we will be like him. And we will see him face to face as he is. And everyone that has that hope in him, the Bible says, you purify yourself. You purify your soul. You purify your spirit. You purify yourself in the same manner that he is pure. That hope is purifying. That hope is satisfying. That hope is joyful. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.